the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
It's to Camogie first. Grace Walsh is one of the Irish sports stars appointed as milk ambassadors for the Everything Starts With Milk initiative, a European Milk Forum campaign which educates Irish consumers on the nutritional benefits of milk and its potential role in post-exercise recovery. Grace, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, not too bad, thanks. How are you?
So, milk, is that an important part of your post-recovery sessions?
Absolutely. I suppose in the last few years, it's something that I always consume straight after training. I'm not very good to eat immediately after training, but I'm always very thirsty. And our team doctor actually was the one that suggested it a couple of years ago after one of our training sessions, that just said that a lot of research had been done, and it's probably one of the most beneficial things to get into after training session or a game. And also I live with a nutritionist, so she's kind of always on to me, like getting my protein in after training. And with milk as well, it helps keep the water or keep the fluids inside you, I suppose, helps you to retain the fluids, as well as having the protein there for your muscle recovery and that. So it's something that I've always taken in, I suppose, after training or a game. So when NDC contacted me to be a brand ambassador, I was more than happy to be involved.
It's really interesting that you live with a nutritionist. That's kind of the type of competitive advantage that a lot of people need to reach that next level. Are you good at that stuff generally? Is that something that you'd always been interested in anyway?
To be honest, during my college days, like, I wouldn't have been mad into nutrition. I suppose I didn't really know a whole lot about it. But as I said, my housemate Emma Davis is her name. I might as well give her the shout out. She went on to do like a PT course, nutrition course. She's going back to physio next year. So while she, I suppose, was kind of learning a lot, she was giving us all that information as well. And she does a lot of nutrition plans and stuff. So I actually did one with her last year when we went into lockdown. So I suppose I learned a lot about nutrition then and the benefits of it. And I suppose personally, I found that when you do look after your nutrition, like it impacts your everyday life, whether you play sports or not. And also, especially when you play sports, you're a lot fitter and you've more of an engine to stay going when you look after your nutrition.
Yeah, it all makes sense really when you start thinking about it. And it's probably one of those fields in the GAA that people have woken up to quite slowly, and it's been in dribs and drabs and fits, and some teams have been really good at it and other teams haven't, but it's definitely no harm to lean on it, especially given at the moment in Camogie there's not that much between the top teams. One year one team loses by a point, the next year they come back and they win by a point. It's really nip and tuck.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we've learned now the last few years how close it can get. And unfortunately, we were on the kind of more unlucky side for a few years there. But thankfully, this year we came out happy.
Why? What was the difference this year?
Well, like, I suppose we had lost three All-Irelands in a row. So that's devastating in that field of your life when you put so much time and effort into it. And I suppose this year was just a really difficult year for absolutely everybody. Anybody that played GAA, anybody that didn't play GAA. And people were frustrated and annoyed throughout the whole year. So we were extremely lucky that we still got to play. And I think that you could see that on the field of play with us in all of our training sessions. Everyone was just always on a buzz and just happy to be there. And a lot of work was done when we weren't allowed to train together. So a lot of people were doing individual training and, you know, putting in a lot of effort, we'll say, away from the management, away from anybody that could see you. So I think at the end of the final whistle, when we got over the line and we won, I think it was just an unbelievable feeling, because it was just all that work had paid off. And I'm a big believer, it's a quote that I've always kind of gone by, hard work beats talent if talent doesn't work hard enough. So I think this year that was one thing that we went by. And I'm a big believer in if you work hard enough to get something that you want, you will get there. So I think the year that was in it, because it was such a tough year, winning the All-Ireland was just extra special and definitely one that we will not forget.
What specific things were you doing that represented that extra hard work last season?
Well, I suppose I actually was injured at the very start of the year last year, so I wasn't really training with girls. And then we were back. I was back for, I think, 2 weeks, and then we went into lockdown. So I suppose Naomh Olaf pitch is just down by me. So they have kind of a walkway and stuff around there. So when we were allowed to train on pitches, I was able to go down there. And you're down there 3 or 4 times a week, you know, when you're doing running sessions, ball wall sessions, trying to hit the ball over the bar. And you're kind of just doing that in your own spare time. And it's not something for us, I suppose. The management team were very good to us in that they just gave us a lot of different drills, running, gym stuff that we could do, but it was all optional. And I think that was massive because there was actually no pressure. It wasn't you have to do this many sessions this week, this many the next week. It was just do what you kind of want to do, I suppose, because everything was up in the air. Nobody knew what was going to happen. So there was no real pressure on us. But I think that actually made people go out more and wanted to keep fit and stuff for whenever the season did resume. So I suppose you're down in the pitch or you're out on a walkway maybe and you're doing a bit of running. You're doing some hurling and drills and that. And you're doing a bit of home gym work, really. We did a lot of online classes as well from home. So I think that's kind of it, really. You're just taking time out of your day, maybe after work, to get a session in. And that's kind of the commitment, I suppose, you have to give when you're playing at intercounty level.
It's interesting that the management essentially let you made your mind up when it came to how much work you wanted to do. I guess being treated more like adults helped hugely.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you're playing at an intercounty level, you know, you want to be fit. It's just kind of in you as a person. And as I said, nobody knew when we were going to go back. So nobody wanted to just do nothing and then go back and be really unfit. And the lads, you know, we had many years there where we were getting to the All-Ireland finals and you're playing with your club and there was no real break, I suppose. And I said it a few times, but I actually think in one way COVID really helped us as a team because we did have that break and we had that option of if you want to train or if you didn't want to. And I think that really helped us a lot. And again, I've said it a few times, we got to go back to the clubs and really just train just with the clubs and really enjoy that whole club experience. And that was so important. And I think everybody kind of came back to the Kilkenny setup with a buzz after playing with the clubs. But the management team, like I couldn't rate them high enough. They were just so good during COVID and they're also approachable and they always showed that they were just a phone call away if there ever were any issues. So I suppose, yeah, being treated like adults and kind of letting us do our own thing and kind of worked in our favour.
I think this is really interesting that like a team who has lost 3 All-Irelands in a row comes back and you already talked about enjoying training and part of that was the fact that you were all able to go back at an elite level at that point. The club thing clearly helped as well. It's almost like this remarkable sequence of events helped the team to recover from the psychic shock of losing 3 All-Irelands in a row. Because I don't know if there's many teams in history who've managed to be able to come back from that.
Yeah, well, I suppose the Dublin ladies footballers, I think we'd lost either our second or third in a row. And I just remember they had done pretty much the same thing. They'd lost 3 in a row and I think they were going on to win 3 in a row at the time. So I suppose you look at teams like that and you're like, if they can do it, we can do it. And we all knew our own potential in the group. And I suppose it kind of came from that we were good enough. And in the league last year, our last game was against Cork and it was a very poor performance on our behalf. So I think really when we did have to stop training together, we were kind of able to look at ourselves and look at ourselves individually to see what maybe we could improve to bring back to make the team better. But yeah, I think the break really done us the world of good. And for me, I found my love for Camogie again, especially going back to the clubs, because I kind of forgot why I enjoyed it. And we got to a quarter final with the club, which was great. Not where we wanted to be, but just getting to play with the girls that I suppose you've grown up with and where you started your Camogie life. That was just so enjoyable.
Do you have conversations with any players in that Dublin team about how they managed to get over that?
I actually don't. I don't know any of the Dublin girls really. I met Noelle Healy. She started working in Vincent's there a few weeks back. So I met her once there about 2 or 3 weeks ago. She's the only person I was really chatting to about it, but I wouldn't really know the girls personally.
Do you take inspiration from what they've done then after they managed to get over that hump and actually win consecutive All-Irelands? Is that very much the goal now for this team?
Absolutely. Do you know, any team that's playing, they want to win the All-Ireland. We're not going to be going out for two in a row or three in a row or anything like that. But every year you want to win the All-Ireland. So I suppose at the end of it all, you'd like to have 5 or 6 in a row maybe. But we'll have to see. But you do take inspiration from teams like that. Do you know, they had to come back again from 3 in a row and they've been doing absolutely unbelievable, incredible stuff. So,
you mentioned Vincent's there, Grace. You're a nurse in Vincent's in Dublin, is that right?
Yeah, I am.
What's that been like?
When I said Vincent's, I was like, oh no, I mentioned Vincent's. Do you know what? Work has been fine. I've done a few interviews now and we always talk about nursing during the pandemic. And I suppose I always feel like it's made out that I have this really tough life nursing during COVID. And I suppose for me personally, I don't feel like I do. I feel very lucky that I still have a job and I have my health. In any job that you have in life, you know, there are going to be tough days. I suppose during COVID, when it came about first in Vincent's Hospital, I felt like we were really well prepared. I felt very supported. And I think things were actually quite plain sailing at the beginning. And they had really been plain sailing for me anyway, where I worked. I didn't work in ED. The COVID ward that I did work on, they were the healthier COVID patients, I suppose. So for me personally, it was actually okay. Now after Christmas was a different story. I don't know how prepared. I don't know if any preparation really can get you ready for what happened after Christmas. That was a really tough time in work, but as I said, everyone has tough days in work, and I feel very lucky that I do get to go into my day-to-day job, a job that I really, really love. And I suppose with COVID, it's the hot topic. And for me, in the line of work that I do, you know, you come to realisation every day, and I suppose things are put into perspective. And as well as COVID, there are many other huge issues that are out there. People are being diagnosed with diseases that are as fatal as COVID. You know, people are struggling with their mental health. And I suppose things, again, are put into perspective. And so for me, there are tough days in work, but like in any job, there are tough days. But I, as I said, I'm very lucky. I have my health and I have a job I get to go into every day. So it hasn't been too bad.
The stuff after Christmas, when you say it's impossible to be prepared or there's bad days, is that just because there was a sheer volume of people that were needing hospitalisation after Christmas? Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely, yeah. The cases, I suppose, were just so high. I think there was, maybe 8,000 one of the days. So I suppose the hospital, there was a lot of COVID in the hospital, and I suppose every day you were going in, you didn't really know if you were going into your own ward or if your ward was going to be turned into a COVID ward. ICU were in escalation. They had to take over half our ward. That's how I ended up meeting Noelle Healy. But So things were tough. I think there were nurses from the Ioneer Hospital came to give us a hand, a bit of a help out and everything. So I suppose it was just the volume of patients. The private hospital, I suppose, had to take kind of a lot of our public non-COVID patients, I suppose, to try relieve the public hospital a little bit. So it was purely just the sheer volume of patients that were coming in, and there was a lot of just breakouts of COVID with the high numbers. So it was kind of just, it was all of a sudden it kind of just happened. So I suppose it was trying to get on top of it. But luckily now we're back. Things are pretty good again, thank God. Hopefully it stays that way.
Do you just park that when you go training? Or do you think like, look where I was 3 hours ago and look where I am now? How do you process that kind of stuff?
Yeah, like, to be honest, 2 days ago, there was a person that was supposed to go home in work, ready, excited to go home. And then they were given this shocking, devastating news. And we were all shocked. And that person was also very shocked. And as I said, it puts things into perspective. But just my drive home after work, I just felt like I was in a complete daze going home, just thinking about this poor person and what the road they have ahead of them. And one thing that I find with Camogie is if I was to go home to train for training that day, or we'll say that evening if I had to go do a session, it just relieves you of all that stress. And I suppose it's somewhere for me that I like to go, and I like to, I suppose, be set free a little bit. And you can kind of get the shackles off and anything that's kind of putting you down a little bit, or that you're thinking about, you don't really think about it when you're in training, and you just get to enjoy it and do something that you love. So I find for me, Camogie is really beneficial in that it works well with the job that I'm in, because it takes your mind off things. And, you know, they say you shouldn't take work home with you, but we're all human at the end of the day. So sometimes things just kind of hit you a little bit different. So Camogie is a massive thing for me, where I'm able to go and I suppose let everything out and let myself go a little bit.
I think that's a brilliant explanation of why we really need to make sure that kids play sport and that they stay with whatever form of physical activity they like. If that's running, if that's cycling, if that's dance, if that's hurling, whatever it is, as long as they possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually only did a Zoom call there at Nice Camogie under 16s or under 14s 2 weeks ago, I think. And one of the questions was, did you ever think about quitting? But I suppose, like, advice that I would always try to give is for especially women, is to not give up, because I see it at home at my club with Tullerone. My sister-in-law plays, Marlise. You know, a few of my closest friends play, and they just play with the club, but it's such a social outlet as well as exercise. You know, exercise benefits everybody, but it's a social outlet, and it allows you to, I suppose, enjoy a different part of your life away from everything else. And as I said, if you work in a job that can be stressful, which the majority of jobs are stressful at times, it allows you to go to a place where you don't have to think about it. And that's why, you know, anybody that plays, they don't have to play at intercounty level, you know, they don't have to be professional. You can still just play and play on a team that everybody is there for the same reason. It could be just a social team where you go and you just enjoy the training. If you miss one session, you know, it's not a big deal. So especially for kids, it's a social outlet for them, and it keeps them active. And I suppose with phones and things like that these days, you're trying to keep kids off them as much as possible. But to do that, I suppose, is to try and get them into a sport and try and get them outside and keep them active.
100%. Grace, great to have you with us this morning. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Thanks very much.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.